chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We will read verses 26 through 55. Actually, 56. So 26 through 56. The first part of the chapter, Luke 1, deals with Zacharias and Elizabeth hearing that they would have a son in their old age, John the Baptist. Now, in Luke 1, verse 26, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. And then we're going to look at, in the sermon, Mary's song. That's verses 46 through 55. Verses 46 through 55 is the text for the sermon. It's a lengthy text, so I won't read it again. Pay special attention to it. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. This is the beginning of the text. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. And so far do we read the word of God. Again, the text, verses 46 through 55. We'll refer to those often in the sermon. For the next several Sundays before Christmas, we will be looking at songs that believers sang about the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. First, we will look at the song of Mary today, and then we will look at the songs of Zacharias, Simeon, and Anna. Each of these songs teach us what Christmas is really about. Each of these songs show us, each in a different way, the significance of Christ's coming. And each of these songs provide an example to us as well. They show to us what we are to do, knowing the wonderful truth that Christ has come. And that is, praise God, magnify Him, and do it with song. Before we examine the song of Mary, it is important that we know what was happening at the time that she sang this song. The Jews, including Mary, they knew about the promise of the Messiah, and some of them longed for Him to come. You see, they knew the prophecies of the Old Testament. The prophecies of the Old Testament pointed to Christ's coming. The prophets had spoken of the Messiah, the anointed one of God. And that word Messiah, that's what it meant, anointed one. The Messiah was going to be the anointed prophet, priest, and king of His people. They knew the prophecy of Isaiah 53, which pointed to the work of the Messiah, how He would suffer for the sins of His people to save them from their sins. He would be led as a lamb to the slaughter, it says. Jewish children were taught the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah by their parents and at the Old Testaments, or at schools, the synagogues. Sadly, more and more were not looking, though, for the coming of the Messiah. But there was a remnant, there was a small group of believers that were longing for the coming of the Messiah. And Mary was one of them. Mary was a Jewish woman whose home was in Nazareth, a town in central Galilee in the northern part of Palestine. And Mary was, because we know she wasn't married yet at this time, it's very likely that she was only in her teens. Most of the time in those days, Jewish women or Jewish girls would get married, usually girls that were in their late teens, but Mary wasn't married yet. It's likely she was in her late teens. Luke 1 verse 27 indicates that she was a virgin. She was espoused to Joseph. As she was espoused to Joseph means that they had formally taken vows to be married to one another, but they weren't yet officially married. You see, during the time between when you made these vows and you were actually officially married, the husband would go prepare the house and the woman would get ready for the big wedding feast that they would have. Now, that's the time period that Mary was in, that time of being espoused to Joseph, when the angel Gabriel suddenly appeared to Mary. Think of that, she's there. We don't know what time of the day it was, but suddenly the angel Gabriel was there. And verses 30 through 32 show us the startling, very startling announcement that Mary heard that day. Think of this, just a girl in her teens hearing this. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Mary was confused. In verse 34, she said, "How shall this be?" Now, she doesn't mean she's unbelieving. She just says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She's a little confused. She's thinking, "I'm only a spouse to Joseph. I have not laid with a man." And the angel answered in verse 35 that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. the Holy Spirit would come upon her and really cause this pregnancy to occur. According to verse 38, Mary heard that. The Holy Ghost would come upon her, cause her to conceive. And Mary says in verse 38, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." There in verse 38, she expresses that she believes it. She believes the word of the angel. And she was even joyful. She was joyful even though this would be a difficult thing. She was going to be pregnant, but unmarried. She would be the subject of gossip, slander. It would be difficult. Well, soon after that visit of the angel, she did become pregnant, and she went to go visit her older cousin, Elizabeth, who lived to the south near Jerusalem. Elizabeth was a believer as well, and she was the wife of Zacharias the priest. God had even made Elizabeth, who was an older, quite a bit older cousin of Mary, God had made her pregnant, and she was going to have John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Well, when Mary came to Elizabeth's house, upon her very entrance, Elizabeth declared, "Blessed art thou among women." And then Elizabeth said, verse 43, "Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So the Holy Spirit worked in Elizabeth to know that Mary had the Lord within her. In response to all that, Mary sang a song of praise to God, her Savior. In response to this news that she was carrying the Messiah, that the Lord was within her, that she was blessed among women, she sang a song of praise to God, her Savior. We call verses 46 through 55 a song because in these verses, Mary is using phrases that come from the Psalms. We'll see that more throughout the sermon. But the phrases she uses come from the Psalms, which is God's songbook. That's what the Psalms are. They're songs. So what Mary is doing here is singing a song of praise to God. And may we be moved through the Word tonight to sing a song of praise along with Mary to God our Savior for that wonderful gift of His Son who came in our flesh. Truly a miracle. Let's consider this text under the theme, Mary's Song of Praise. Mary's Song of Praise. First, the content. Second, the manner. And third, the faith. Mary's Song of Praise. First, the content. In the song, Mary magnifies God because God is her Savior, she says. Verses 46 through 48 is where we will start here. Verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Verse 46, Mary magnified God with a song. Magnify. Again, think. We had that word in the Thanksgiving sermon last week. Magnify means to, or think of a magnifying glass. When you look through a magnifying glass, that allows you to focus on something. And it makes that thing bigger. Well, to magnify God is to focus on Him and praise Him for His greatness. You focus on Him and His greatness and you praise Him for it. That's magnifying God. And Mary magnified God with song. That's a wonderful way to magnify God, with song. In song, one can express to God how great God is with words that flow together so well. When one's using the Psalms, those words are written for singing. The words flow together. The words can be easily remembered and understood. So Mary magnified the Lord with a song, and she magnified God, verse 47, because God is her Savior. It says, "I rejoice in God my Savior. Mary magnified the Lord because God was her Savior who delivered her from a lowly position. A lowly position. Verses 47 and 48. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Now that God was her Savior meant that he delivered her from something bad or difficult and unto something good. God delivered Mary in the sense that he was going to make her, who was a handmaiden, who was lowly, he was going to make her blessed. She had a low estate, verse 48. A low estate means she had a low position in life. She was only a young girl living in Nazareth, and very few knew her name. And if this event had not happened, very few would have known her name. However, God made it so that all generations would call her blessed or happy. She would be known by people from generation to generation to generation, on all the way to the end of the world. She would be known as the mother of the Messiah, the mother of Jesus, as God told her earlier in the chapter, the mother of the Son of the Highest come in the flesh. God had delivered her in the sense that he gave her the highest honor conceivable to be the mother of the Messiah, Jesus, the Christ. However, understand that when Mary magnified God as her Savior, she was especially talking about God's spiritual deliverance of her. Mary cared about her spiritual deliverance. She was a person that cared about spiritual things by the grace of God. One can tell that even with the visit, when you read about the visit of the angel to her. When the angel spoke to her, she believed that message of the angel. One sees the spiritual person Mary was in Luke 2, verses 19 and 20, where we read that after all those things happened in the birth of Jesus Christ, she kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. She was spiritual. She cared about spiritual deliverance. And Mary knew that she needed that spiritual deliverance. When she talks about her low estate in verse 48, she partly means that she was just a lowly servant. That was her position, status in life. But partly she also means that she was lowly in the sense of a sinner. She saw herself as a lowly sinner who was only unbelieving and could only sin in her own strength. She saw that she would go to hell without a Savior. But she also saw that God powerfully saved her, that God powerfully delivered her from sin and delivered her unto life with Him. Remember, delivering from the bad unto the good. She saw that God delivered her spiritually. How? God had made her to be pregnant with the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus had come. Verse 31 says that the angel told her, that first visit of the angel, Gabriel told her that Jesus was in her womb. He uses that name, Jesus. That name Jesus means Jehovah's salvation. The angel told her, Jehovah, come in the flesh, will be within you. The Savior, Jehovah, who's come in the flesh to save His people from their sins, will be within you. Jesus would pay for her sins and deliver her from all her guilt, all her terrible guilt. Amazing. God was her spiritual Savior, for God sent Jesus, and God was also working in her to believe and to serve Him. Mary believed the message of the angel. Mary saw herself as a handmaiden of the Lord, verse 48. His handmaiden. She was one who wanted to praise God and did praise God in song. She had been delivered spiritually, strengthened to serve and praise the Lord. God delivered Mary, sent Jesus to pay for her sins. God delivered Mary also in the sense He was working within her. And Mary praised God for being her gracious Savior. We get that idea that God is a gracious Savior, or Mary, we get the idea that Mary's singing about that from verse 48. She talks about God's her Savior, verse 47. But then the idea of gracious comes out in verse 48. The beginning of verse 48 says, He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. That phrase in the original language is, He hath looked upon in favor His handmaiden. He looked upon His handmaiden with favor. We know that's what grace is, favor. And when grace, God's grace is shown to His people, to us, it's His undeserved favor. And to Mary, it was certainly undeserved favor. Mary had sinned against God many times. Mary deserved nothing but eternal destruction. But God was her Savior. God, in His marvelous grace, had sent His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son, come in the flesh, was in her womb. He was going to die for her, Mary. That's grace. Marvelous display of grace. And Mary was even the mother of this child, so that Mary would get to be with this child, with the Christ child, and Mary would hear His teachings, the teachings of the Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Think of that. The Son of God was within her and was going to be right there next to her during her life. She was going to hear Him speak. Mary was overcome at seeing the great grace of God, His favor. And she praised God for being her gracious Savior. We believers also magnify our gracious Savior in song and life, and we must. God is our gracious Savior too. He's the gracious Savior of us believers. We are lowly sinners, and we know it. We know it of ourselves. We are wholly incapable of doing any good, and we are inclined to all wickedness. We're on the path to eternal destruction of self. That's where we'd go. We'd be under God's wrath now. We'd be under God's wrath forever if left to self. But God has not left us to ourselves. He sent His Son to take upon Himself our flesh and pay for those terrible sins we've committed. He sent His Son to take away our guilt. That's grace. That's the display of His favor towards us. And God is our Savior who is also working within us. Think of that, that He's given to us faith so that we believe in Jesus. We know Him. He gives to us strength to serve God. What a gracious Savior our God is. Undeserved favor too. Nothing we have done to deserve it. We magnify Him then in song and in life. May we do that tonight. May we do that every day this week and every day for the rest of our lives. Magnify our gracious Savior. Especially do so in song. In all of life, but do so in song. In the second place, in Mary's song, she praises God because of His matchless mercy. His matchless mercy. Verse 50 says, His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. So Mary acknowledges God's mercy, praises Him for it. God's mercy is His attitude of pity. God's mercy is His attitude of tender affection, in which He seeks to bring us out of misery and into blessedness. His people, we are sinners who are miserable of ourselves. For of ourselves, we are under God's wrath. We're going to hell. God's mercy is His attitude of tender affection, which He seeks to bring us up out of that misery, lift us up out of that into blessedness, into happiness. And Mary says that God's mercy is on them that fear Him. Fearing God is to stand in awe of who God is, and that results in serving Him. And fearing God flows out of faith, flows out of the faith that God gives to His people. See, knowing by faith who God is, how great He is, the ruler of the universe, the one who sent His Son to pay for the sins of His people. Those who have faith and know that, they fear God. They stand in awe of Him. They serve Him. God's mercy, Mary says, is on them that fear Him. That means it's on His people who fear Him. Those who fear God by faith, they know. They know His mercy. They experience it. They know Jehovah and His attitude of pity towards them. Now Mary praised God for His mercy towards her and all His people. That's what she's acknowledging here, is mercy towards her and all His people. Think about God's mercy. God could well have rejoiced in the destruction of Mary. She was a sinner. And could well have rejoiced in the destruction of all Israel. They were all sinners. But He didn't. Think about how much, to see God's mercy here, think about how much you love your children, fathers. Each father here, think about how much you love your children. You go to great lengths to keep them from pain. And when they're hurting, you want to help them. God the Father loved His Son. He loved His Son. And understand, though, that He had such pity on us, His people, that He sent His Son to this world, even into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And He was born and lived on this sin-cursed earth. And He suffered and died to save us from our sins. In the sending of His Son, then, God shows His great mercy, His tender affection, His pity towards His people. In His mercy, God even worked in Mary to believe in Him and to serve Him and to sing and to want to sing. That's His tender affection upon her. He's lifting her up into blessedness. Now, Mary speaks of God's mercy being set apart from others, from all others. At the end of verse 49, we read, "Holy is His name." So she sings about His holiness. End of verse 49, "Holy is His name." Then verse 50, "And His mercy is on them that fear Him." So there's a connection there between holiness at the end of verse 49 and God's mercy in verse 50. God's holiness is connected to His mercy in this way. That God is holy means that He is set apart. He's set apart. And what Mary's indicating by putting those two terms next to each other is God is set apart in His mercy. His mercy is matchless. His mercy is way greater than any mercy that anyone here ever shows to each other. We show mercy to others, seeking to lift them out of their misery. We do that sometimes. But God showed mercy to people that have sinned against Him so many times and showed hatred towards Him. That's matchless mercy. Nobody that we ever show mercy to has sinned against us or hurt or shown hatred towards us to the degree that we have sinned against God. But yet He shows His mercy to us. And He even sent His Son for us in His mercy. His Son whom He loves. In this song, Mary is acknowledging God's matchless mercy and praising Him for it. And we must do the same. God has shown that mercy, His marvelous mercy to us. May that be very personal to you tonight, the believer, seeking to lift us up out of misery and into His blessed, into blessed fellowship with Him. Seeking that, God sent His Son here to this sin-cursed earth. He was even in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And He died for us. Also that we might have blessedness. So that we might have joy. In His mercy, God has worked in us also to believe. That's His mercy too. That's His grace, as we saw earlier, is also His mercy. He's worked in us to believe and know Jesus so that we are brought up out of that miserable condition that we're in of ourselves, and we're in blessedness. We have joy. So praise God. Praise God in song as Mary did. Kids, tomorrow when you go to school and you sing there, remember this. Remember God's mercy in sending Jesus for you, and praise Him in song for that mercy. Third, in the song that Mary sings, she acknowledges God's powerful acts or powerful deeds that He has performed. Verse 51, we read, "He hath showed strength with His arm." He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The phrase "arm of God" is a phrase that's used throughout the Old Testament to emphasize a powerful action of God. Our arms do things. We know that, right? We lift others up with our arms, or we rescue them with our arms, quickly grabbing them and taking them back, maybe from danger. Well, our arms are just pictures of God's arm. He has the arm. His arm is the strongest. His arm can accomplish whatever He pleases. And the phrase "arm of God" is used in the Old Testament to emphasize God's powerful work of rescuing His people. For instance, if you read through Exodus or Deuteronomy, you will read several times of how God delivered His people from Egypt by a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. And in Psalm 44, verse 3, we sang a versification of that earlier. Psalm 44, verse 3 says, "For they got not the land in possession." It's talking about Canaan. "They got not Canaan by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm." Now, by speaking of Jehovah's mighty arm, then, in verse 51, in her song, Mary is referring to great deliverances that God had given His people with His great strength. Mary is thinking of those phrases that are used throughout the Psalms and throughout Exodus and Deuteronomy. God delivering His people from Egypt with a mighty hand and stretched out arm. God did that giving the people their victories over those Canaanite nations too. Psalm 44. Praise God, Mary says. He is mighty. His arm is all-powerful. And then verses 51 through 53, she continues to acknowledge God's great strength. Verse 51, "He has showed strength with His arm." Or, excuse me, verse 52 now. 52, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty." Scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Pharaoh and other enemies that Israel faced were proud. They thought they were so great, nobody could stop them. Well, God scattered them. God put them to flight. God made it so Pharaoh and his hosts drowned at the Red Sea. God made it so those walls of Jericho fell down. God, His arm, rescued the Israelites. His arm saved them. He provided for the Israelites physically, but He also provided for the Israelites spiritually by His mighty arm. That phrase in verse 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things," can refer to physical works that God deliverances God gave to his people physically, but also spiritually. His people hungered and thirsted for spiritual gifts. They hungered and thirsted for forgiveness, hungered and thirsted for strength to serve their great God, and God filled them. God announced forgiveness to their consciences. God made them to know it. God made them to go, worked in them powerfully to go out and serve him and sing praises at the temple. God provided by his mighty arm. In her song, Mary's praising God then for his powerful provisions for Israel in the past, but also and especially this, for his sending the Messiah. What power God showed in causing her to be pregnant with the Christ child. Verse 49 also speaks of that power. We read in verse 49, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things." What a mighty arm God displayed in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Usually a child is conceived by a father and mother together. But here, God produced this child without a father in the picture. That's power. This child was not produced either by cooperation between God and Mary. No, God, we read, is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down upon Mary and caused the conception. Spirit planted life there. And God mysteriously made it. This is his power too. God mysteriously made it so that this child was both God and man. Very God, and fully man. What power! God truly did great things to Mary, as she says in verse 49. Salvation had come to her and all God's people by God's powerful arm. And she emphasizes that God's power is unmatched. Verse 49, the end, she speaks of God being holy. That sandwiched between God, Mary speaking about God's power at the beginning of verse 49 and God's mercy in verse 50. The idea is that God's mercy is certainly unmatched. As we've seen, it's set apart from the mercy of all others. It's way greater. But God's power is also holy. It's set apart. It's unmatched. He brought about a pregnancy without any man involved. And the child was both God and man. That's the power of God. Mary praises Jehovah for his mighty acts in song. And may we do the same thing. Acknowledge his mighty act in the incarnation, causing Mary to become pregnant with the Son of God come in the flesh. Praise God for his great work in causing that to happen, his miraculous work. That's God's mighty arm saving us. God caused the Son to come in the flesh so that we might be saved. Jesus had to be very God and very man. Praise God for his power in bringing that to pass, that he was very God and very man. Acknowledge his mighty act then at the incarnation, but acknowledge his mighty acts in your life too. Consider it for a moment. Think about his powerful arm and what his powerful arm has done in your heart and in your life. We who are naturally dead in sin, he has regenerated us. He has given to us spiritual life so that we're alive spiritually. We have life spiritually tonight. That great God, by his mighty arm, he has given to us faith so that we believe in Jesus for all of our salvation. When of ourselves, we would not care one bit about someone who lived 2,000 years ago. That's his power. And by his mighty arm, he powerfully moves us and our children to sing praises to him from our heart, as Mary did. And as our powerful God, he by his mighty arm preserves us all the way to heaven, just as he preserved and guarded and gave the Israelites the land of Canaan. Praise God in song and in life for His mighty acts. Fourth in the song, Mary praises God for His covenant faithfulness. His covenant faithfulness. Praises God for being a gracious Savior. Praises God for His matchless mercy. Praises God for His mighty acts. And last, His covenant faithfulness. She says in verses 44 through 50, or 54 through 55, He hath holpen His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Jehovah had helped. That's the beginning of verse 54. He hath holpen His servant Israel. We've already talked about how He helped His people Israel. Now Jehovah had helped them again in the greatest way possible by sending His Son in the flesh to save His people from their sins. So He had helped Israel, and He helped Israel in remembrance of His mercy that He talked about to Abraham and his seed. God promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that in him, in Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's referring to the truth that from Abraham would come the Messiah. The Messiah who would come to save His people from every nation. So in Abraham, all nations would be blessed. God's people from every nation would be blessed. For Christ was coming from Abraham. God promised to send a Savior to save Abraham, His child, and all His people. And in remembrance of that mercy, well, that I should say this first, that promise that in Abraham would all the nations of the earth be blessed, that promise was spoken to Abraham, was spoken to Isaac, was spoken to Jacob, spoken to Abraham's, or to God's covenant people, Israel in the Old Testament. And in remembrance of that mercy that He promised throughout the Old Testament, remembrance of that mercy He promised to His covenant people, Jehovah did help Israel. He did send the Messiah. He did send the Christ child to save His people. God was faithful to His covenant friends. He was faithful to the Israelites. And Mary praised God in song for that faithfulness. She praised God that He kept His promises. And may we do the same. May we praise God for His covenant faithfulness as well. Jehovah promised mercy to us when He said that in Abraham shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He was promising to send a Savior for His people from every nation. That includes us. And He kept that promise. Praise God. And He has promised to show mercy to us believers and our children. That's verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. God is pleased to work salvation in the line of continued generations. And He's doing that. He's a faithful covenant God who keeps His promises. Praise God for that. So remember that tomorrow too, kids. His grace, His mercy, and sending His Son, also His covenant faithfulness. He promised to send that Savior. He did it. Praise Him. In the text we find what Mary praised God for and in what manner she praised God. What manner? Four things about the manner. First, Mary praised God in song using the Scriptures. We've touched on this a little bit already, but know that in this song, Mary is using phrases from the Scriptures, from particularly the Psalms. She uses especially Psalms 22, 103, 44, and 98. Consider for a moment Luke chapter 1, verse 51, and what Mary sings there. She sings, He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Well, that phrasing she uses there is very close to Psalm 44, verse 3, where we read, "They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm." So she gets the idea of God's arm from Psalm 44, verse 3. And then her words in Luke 1, 46 and 47 are like the psalmist's words in chapter 103, verse 1. Luke 1, verse 46, Mary says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Well, Psalm 103, verse 1, the psalmist cries out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And then the psalmist goes on to speak of the benefits of salvation, just as Mary does. We could go on and look at all the different phrases that are similar to the Psalms, but you get the idea. Mary sang the Scriptures, and we also sing the Scriptures, and we ought to sing the Scriptures. We sing the Psalms, which is singing Scripture. Kids, when we sing the Psalter, when you sing from your psalter in the pew and at school, you're singing the psalms just like Mary did. And we ought to do that. It's God's songbook, the psalms are. Songbook He's given us. So that first, Mary praised God in song with the Scriptures, singing the Scriptures. Second, regarding the manner in which Mary sang praise to God, know that Mary sang from her soul, sang from within. Verses 46 and 47, she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Soul and spirit refer to the inner man. So when Mary says she magnified God, when she says her soul magnified God, what she's indicating is that she was not just mouthing these words, but had no idea what she was really saying and just going through the motions. No, she was singing from within, from her heart. And that's the kind of singing, that's the kind of singing that's pleasing to God. In John 4, verse 24, Jesus says, "They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Jesus says, worship God in spirit. That's worship Him from within. And Mary was doing that. She was doing that as one who was so thankful for God her Savior and that He had sent His Son and that she was the mother of this child and would be with this child and that this child would save her. May we praise God from our soul too. When singing at the worship service, when singing at home, when singing at school, don't be thinking about hunting in the basketball game the Friday night before or your basketball game that night or whatever is going to happen after lunchtime. Be thinking about the words. Sing from within, from your soul. Praise to God. Remember who He is. He's our Savior. Gracious Savior. He has matchless mercy towards us. He's done mighty acts for us and in us. He's faithful. Dwell upon who God is before you sing. Before you sing at home. That's why we often read the Word before we sing. Dwell upon who He is before you come here for worship. Take time. Be doing that. Talk about often preparation for worship, but be doing that. Be thinking about who our God is before you come here, and then knowing who He is, knowing how good He is to you. Sing from your soul, from within, in thankfulness and praise to Him. Third, regarding the manner in which Mary sang, know that she sang in humility. Humility. Verse 48, she calls herself God's handmaiden. A handmaiden is a servant. And Mary is saying she's God's handmaiden, meaning that she's the lowly servant of God. She saw that she's a sinner, and she saw that God is holy. She's way below Him. She saw that God is the master of the universe, and she's just a person who lives in this small town, Nazareth, in Galilee. God doesn't need her for anything, and she needs Him for everything. Yet God is so good to her. God sent His Son, and that Son is going to save her. She views herself as small and just as a servant to God. And she wants then to serve Him. She wants to be that servant. She desires to be that one who is serving her Lord every day. Not herself, but Him. So she sings this song in humility, recognizing who she is in comparison to God. And being humble, seeing how great God is in comparison to her, she praises God. And we must be humble as Mary was. See yourself tonight as small, as a sinner. See yourself as small compared to the great God, master of the universe. See how great He is, and then praise God in humility. We must be humble to bring praise to God. If we think we're great, we're not going to praise Him. If we think we are something special ourselves, we're not going to praise Him. Be humble. Praise the Lord in humility. Fourth, regarding the manner in which Mary sings, note that she sings with joy. Joy. Verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." That's remarkable. Mary faced difficult circumstances here. Matthew 1, verses 18 and 19 indicate that Joseph, when he heard that Mary was pregnant, knew that it was not his child. Joseph thought that she had been with another man, that she had become pregnant that way. Mary must have known something like that would happen. And people in Nazareth, too, would be talking about her. There would be suspicions in that town. You can well imagine people saying she's pregnant. She was espoused to that Joseph. What happened? There would be slander. There would be gossip. Mary must have wondered what people would say and must have known that some wouldn't believe what her story, the true story was, and they wouldn't even want to be part of the same community as her. They'd ostracize her, thinking of her as some bad apple, want nothing to do with her. That'd be hard. But even during those difficult circumstances she was in at that time, she praised the Lord with joy. She says, "I rejoice in God my Savior." She was so happy that the Savior had come. She was the mother of the Lord, the Messiah. And may we have that same joy when we sing and when we pray to Jehovah. There are difficult circumstances in our life too. Maybe difficult circumstances that you knew of this morning when you came in here and when you came in again tonight. Well, remember that God is your Savior. God is our Savior who sent Jesus to save us from our sins, to earn for us eternal salvation. Even now, we're under His favor and under His mercy. In His tender affection, He's making all things work for our good. He's merciful. So may we have the same joy that Mary did when we sing, when we pray. Remember that. How good God is to us. He sent His Son. Mary praised God in song only as one who had been given the gift of faith. She praised God only as one who had been given the gift of faith. On her own, she would not have praised the Lord at that time in her life. She wouldn't have. She would not have believed in the Messiah for her salvation. She would not have cared that she had the Messiah, Jesus Christ, within her. What she would have been concerned about is what people were saying, her reputation. That's what she would have cared about. She would not have magnified the Lord who gave her this child. She would not have said, "I rejoice in God my Savior." And we would not praise the Lord if we were left to ourselves either. We would not believe in the Messiah, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. We would not care about Him. We would say, "I'm a pretty good person. I really don't need anybody else. I'm pretty good myself. And we wouldn't praise the Lord in life or in song. We especially wouldn't praise Him when facing difficulties and struggles. We wouldn't be here today. Mary magnified the Lord with joy as one whom God had given the gift of faith. God gave her faith. That's very clear. That He gave her faith to believe the Word. Gave her faith to believe the Word and what it says about the Messiah. In verse 45, Elizabeth said about Mary, said, "Blessed is she that believed." Blessed is she that believed. Mary believed, and she believed as one whom the Holy Spirit had worked mightily in. In this chapter, we read of how the Holy Spirit worked faith mightily in Elizabeth. Verse 41 indicates that when Mary came to Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth said, or excuse me, when Mary came over to Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit, we read, filled Elizabeth. Holy Spirit filled her. And then having the Holy Spirit mightily working in her, Elizabeth says in verse 43, "Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So having the Holy Spirit within her, Elizabeth believed that this child within Mary was the Lord and was her Lord, her Savior. She had faith by the power of the Spirit. And that shows that faith is a gift of God. And Mary too had been given that gift of God to believe the word that the angel brought, to believe in Jesus for her salvation. And believing that, believing the word of God, believing the truth about the Messiah, she praised God. She sang this song in thankfulness to Him. She praised Him using the Scriptures and with humility and with joy. That was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we also magnify the Lord as those who have been given faith. Praise God for that. God has united us to Jesus Christ, united to Him by the bond of faith, and being united to Him, Christ strengthens us to exercise faith, to believe the Word, to believe the truth about the Messiah, and to trust in Him, to believe that He really came here, the Son of God came in our flesh, save us from our sins, and really to die, suffer and die for us. Having been given faith and knowing Jesus has come to save us, we magnify the Lord in song. We do that by the power of Christ working within. So pray for that strength. Pray for that strength that we might magnify the Lord as Mary did in song and really in all of life. What a gift we've been given in the Savior. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we come humbly before Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that we might magnify Thee in song. We might magnify Thee in every activity that we do. For Thou art the God who has shown marvelous grace, matchless mercy, has done mighty deeds, and has shown Thy faithfulness in sending Thy Son, who came to take away all of our sins, that we might be saved. Lord, strengthen us to magnify Thee even in song tonight and in every activity. In Jesus' name.